Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
Get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Expose yourself to your deepest fear. After that, fear has no power, and the fear of freedom shrinks and vanishes. You are free. Ladies and gentlemen, it is April the 16th, 2015. Welcome to another edition of Anti-Media Radio with your host, S.M. Gibson. Before we get into the show tonight, I would like to kind of want to start doing a thing with the show where I give a few stats and statistics to keep everybody informed with what's going on. I don't know if anybody else has watched, you know, anything that's on mainstream corporate media today, but it's, you know, more of the same. You know, they've talked about spring break still a lot. I don't know why, you know, we're talking about that a month in. And you know, Aaron Hernandez, that's a big topic. You know, he killed somebody who's going to jail. And, you know, fair enough, he played football. That doesn't mean, you know, you can't be a murderer and play football. And there's murderers every day. But anyway, let me go ahead and go over these statistics real quick for everybody. And write these down if you won't remember them. They're just really interesting. So far, Saudi Arabia, our great ally, Saudi Arabia, has beheaded 61 people so far since the beginning of the year. Chicago, you know, with all the gun control that they have in Chicago, we've already seen 101 homicides so far for the year, and we've seen 551 people shot since January 1st. And these next two stats are just mind-blowing. So far, in the United States of America, in 2015, there have been 337 people killed by the police. And I know that there's going to be people out there, and they say, well, what about the police officers? How many police officers have been killed? Well, there have been 37 police officers killed in the line of duty so far in 2015, 37 compared to 337. But let's break down these 37 deaths real quick. Six of them have been by gunfire. 11 of them were in an automobile accident. 10 of them were from a heart attack. One was a motorcycle accident. Two were struck by vehicle. Two were pursuits. One was assault. Two were related to, it says 9/11 illness, and this is coming off of a honoring officers killed in 2015.org. So 10 of them were heart attack, 11 were automobile accidents, so six with gunfire. That's versus 337 Americans killed by police. All right, let me introduce to y'all our producer, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how you doing tonight?
Good evening. How are you doing?
Doing good. So, I don't know if you caught any of those statistics I was just throwing out there, but what do you think about that?
Well, I'm certainly not surprised. You know, it's kind of funny. I was researching the article for the fella in Michigan that we're going to talk about later, and if you want to, we can go straight into it. But, yeah, that is a clear indication of because, you know, let's break down.
Let me go ahead and give everybody the rundown of the story real quick, and then we'll just jump right in.
I'm sorry, didn't mean to do a spoiler alert, but this kind of ties directly in with what you're talking about.
It absolutely does. Okay, there is a cop in Highland Park, Michigan. He is being sued for locking up two women for 4 days. Neither woman was charged with anything. What happened was this cop arrested these two women, literally no charges. It was a woman and her domestic partner. There was no evidence of crime. So he's being sued. You know, they're saying that rights were violated all over the place, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's even a bigger problem. This same officer had already made headlines before. He'd been caught on camera with police brutality, and he had been caught on camera tasering his own partner. And this guy's still on the streets and locks up two women for no reason.
Oh, well, and let's not forget, he was also made headlines for shooting himself in the leg, which goes back to your statistics. We know that somebody died by gunfire. Was there any statistic on whether it was their own gunfire or was it somebody else's gunfire?
It didn't specify.
Yeah, when I Googled this fellow, when I Googled him, all sorts of stuff came back up from all the way back to 1997. I mean, this guy, 2005, you know, we have an incident. We had an incident a couple of years ago. We had an incident last year. And now we have a cop that is illegally detaining two people. Let's go ahead and give you a little bit more of this story, too, before it breaks. Not only was he illegally detaining two people, they were actually two women in a domestic partnership who were playfully, you know, like I'm sure you do with your own wife and I've done with, you know, significant others in the past, kind of playfully argue and kind of, I'm going to beat your butt, you know, little things like that, you know, what couples do. And it was totally, totally in jest, totally joking around. And this cop, who is outside of his police jurisdiction, and jurisdiction, and that right there is the key for me. Number one, straight off the bat, is he is completely outside of his jurisdiction. Approaches these two women, thinking that there's an incident, takes them into custody, then takes them back to his jurisdiction, and has to give a long, drawn out story as far as why these women are there to begin with. Oh, they're from where? Where'd you pick them up at? So, and illegally detains them for 4 days and then turns them loose with no charges being filed. Seems like that's a violation of the Fourth Amendment, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I don't know if we mentioned the officer's name earlier. His name is Ronald Dupuis. It is Dupuis, if anybody wants to Google him and look him up.
Oh, definitely do. It is a fascinating read.
But, yeah, it seems like he's made enemies inside his department already. So, you know, it appears maybe something will happen to this guy. It's hard to say. It says he's currently under investigation already for the police brutality from earlier in the year. So he's already been sued before as well. So we'll see what happens with this guy, but it's just fascinating how some of these police officers, you know, just are on this power trip, and they literally just do what they want.
One question I have to ask is, why does he still have a job after tasering his own officer, after shooting himself in the leg, after being accused of police brutality, caught on tape, I might add? Why is he still a police officer? Why is he still given a power of authority over anybody?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the question, you know, and that's kind of the question that keeps coming up. It's like if a police officer does something wrong, that's what people need to remember. Police officers are not above the law. Just because you're wearing a uniform and have a job description doesn't make you above the law. And what happens is because they believe they enforce the law, that means they're above the law. And so when they do something that's against the law, they don't get in trouble. And, you know, the power trip just gets worse and worse, and it just goes to their head. And we get situations like this where it's just serial offenders of just harassing the community. Not only harassing the community, harassing people inside his own department.
That's tasering his own partner. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But, I tell you, it kind of, speaking of the police, that kind of want to lead into this next story, and we've already got it up on antimedia.org, ran it earlier today, about there is a child, 11-year-old child, that was in class. His mother was sick, and she'd been taking medical marijuana. She suffered from Crohn's disease, and she was doing it through cannabis oil. And it helped her, you know, with all her problems. Anyways, a DARE officer comes to class, and so the kid corrects the DARE officer about what cannabis could actually do and how it saved his mother's life. And so they detain the child, and the mother ends up getting arrested. Arrested. And the child didn't have a lawyer. They didn't let him see his parents, anything like that. He was just detained. I mean, just from the child, they're breaking the law.
Mm. You know, has it been in the state of Alabama, which we currently reside in? Alabama, as backward as we are on so many levels, Alabama does allow the use of medicinal CBD oil.
Yeah, well,
cannabis oil.
Well, I tell you what. Georgia, just today, passed a law, and they finally legalized it. It's called Haley's Hope Act, and so it's finally legal in the state of Georgia for medical marijuana.
Yeah, it's Carly's Law here in Alabama, if anybody wants to check that out. And again, all it is that, you know, if this were taking place in Alabama, it would have been a moot issue. The police officer would have been forced grudgingly to admit the young boy is right and then go on about the dangers of other dangerous substances, heroin, cocaine, things like that. DARE's a joke anyway. So we both came up in that era. We both had to sit through our share of DARE classes, I'm sure. And, you know, it was a failed program left over from the Reagan administration. It has done virtually no good except waste taxpayer dollars. It's educated children at a younger age on what to look for when you want to get high. Kind of, you know, brings to mind, remember the Chappelle show, Tyrone Biggums?
Yeah, absolutely.
And when he speaks in front of the class and starts telling the kids about that marker right there, you see that marker? Sniff it, it'll get you high. Well, you know, we were sitting there remarking when we were talking about the story earlier. You know, I'm going to say it was probably about fifth or sixth grade, and I'd heard all these horrible, dangerous things about drugs. I didn't even know what drugs looked like. And then here comes the DARE author, dumps all this stuff out on the table, and nice little piles of marijuana, a little pile of cocaine, and this is what this looks like, and this is what LSD looks like, and this, that, and the other. And I think more than anything, it probably educated children on what to look for. You hear all this stuff about drugs. Well, here's what you're looking for. Check it out. because we certainly didn't see drug use fall during that period. In fact, it rose in quite a few areas.
Yeah, so let me kind of go back more into this a little bit. So police came to the house. They found and confiscated 2 ounces of cannabis and 1 ounce of cannabis oil. So they basically broke in the lady's house and they, you know, took the medicine that she takes for her disease. And so then they took her child into custody, and then she had to appear in court over the custody to fight for custody of her own child. And this is what she had to say. On the 24th, he was taken into custody. That was on a Tuesday. He was taken out of town Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Friday, we had a temporary hearing, and temporary custody was granted to my ex. Now, the only reason why temporary custody was granted to my ex is because the judge said something to the effect that the amount of cannabis found in my home was going to possibly be felony charges, and it was pointless letting the child return home to his mother. The state is trying to deem it to where this lady's ex is not fit, and I'm not fit, and they're trying to take the child out of both of their custodies. So the police and the state are just trying to intervene and take this lady's child for absolutely no reason. You know, I just don't know what kind of world we live in where we allow this. You know, we talk about this so much, and everybody talks about, you know, this is bad and this is bad and this is bad. But the results can be far, 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 far worse than anything that people claim. And there's not cannabis deaths in this country. There's not people overdosing of marijuana. You know, that's not happening. But this lady could have her child taken away. The people that get killed in the drug war. I mean, the drug war in itself, which this is a direct result of, is far deadlier than the drug itself.
It's, oh, absolutely.
It's kind of like, you know, American foreign policy. The solution is far more dangerous than the actual problem.
Yep. Well, you know, there's so many different issues you have to look at with this. First off, you have a child that is being illegally questioned by the police without any kind of proper representation, with, albeit a lawyer, albeit a parent or legal guardian. And I know this was basically a kid being forced to rat out his mom. And it started off with a child that was doing what he thought was right. Let's go ahead and get that straight. It's not like we're dealing with a kid that saw this opportunity, was going to narc his mom out, or was living in a bad situation, the situation of squalor and filth, and had to get out of there. This was a child standing up for his mother and his mother's right to live a decent, normal life. You know, Crohn's disease is a very, very painful disease. I don't know if you've ever talked to anybody who's ever had it before, but, man, it's tough. It is absolutely tough. And, you know, when you have a plant, something that grows out of the ground, that can cause relief. And we're not talking about, you know, something as salacious as heroin, you know, something that's a plant that goes through this whole processing and this, that. And we're talking about a plant that comes out of the ground and oil is extracted from it. And it is causing a lot of relief, so much so that states are now grudgingly, particularly southern states, Alabama and Georgia, come on now, are being forced to allow this because it's the right thing to do. It's only way the people that are suffering from these diseases and these ailments are finding any kind of hope when all of the other FDA free pharmaceuticals are doing nothing but making it worse.
Yeah, I mean,
it's incredible to me.
It is. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. If you've got anything on over there, could you turn it down just a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. But also, as well, there was a chance today in Sacramento. We've got U.S. District Judge Kimberly Mueller, and she had the ability to classify marijuana as a Schedule II classification, and yet she upheld it as Schedule I today. So, you know, right when you think that there's a chance for there to be a change in the law, you know, we're kind of right back where we are with that. And then you've got, you know, you've got some politicians, you've got, you know, Rand Paul and Cory Booker saying that, you know, they want to legalize medical marijuana federally, which I think that's, you know, a great thing. I think that needs to be done because there are people with, you know, so many different problems, and it does, you know, ease their suffering, and it relieves their symptoms. But the politics of it get kind of iffy because, you know, you've got Rand Paul saying 2 years ago that, you know, he would keep the drug war going and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he turns around and talks bad about the drug war. So, you know, it's hard to say who you put your faith in with these problems. The you know, all we can do, it's like I continually say on here, we have to make the change ourselves if we want to see the change. Be the change you want to see in the world was the Gandhi quote. And, you know, for these injustices, we have to be able to stand up for it. And we have to be knowledgeable about this stuff for ourselves. We can't just pass it off to somebody else. And we can't just say, I'm going to go vote for this person to change it for me. And I'm going to let them know the information. And I'll just trust what they think. When, you know, the people need the power of knowledge and the information for themselves. And when something like this situation happens and this kid, you know, is taken, they're fighting for custody of their child, people in the community need to stand up and say, no, look, I mean, you know, Kansas is a conservative place, but this is way past, you know, conservative values and liberal values. You know, the science is out there now for medical marijuana, and the days of reefer madness are over. We know what the propaganda looks like, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. So the people in the community need to stand up and say, look, enough is enough. And this woman, you know, needs her child back in her house, and all charges need to be dropped. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, and also, it's important to point out one of the facts of the story that we've kind of skipped over. Her name is Shona Banda, by the way. S-O-N-A-B-A-N-D-A. Shona Banda, she's actually a cannabis oil activist. And that's very important to note here, because
yeah,
I think that also...
Yeah, she became that way after she found out she was diagnosed, right?
Yes. And it seems to me that this case was definitely exacerbated by the fact that she was already, and I'm sure she's on a list somewhere, that she spoke at a rally or possibly spoke in front of a group of people. And, of course, when you do that and you're speaking in any kind of dissent on what current law is, your name gets put on a list. We know that. I mean, that's been going on since J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, and I honestly believe she was singled out and going through this whole process because she is one of the people that you're just talking about right now that are actually standing up and speaking out for some of these injustices, some of these crazy laws and legislation that are definitely skewed in one way or the other. And you really have to ask yourself at the end of the day, well, who's making the money here, you know? An activist that is trying to promote something that is making people well, something that states have quietly and, as I just said a moment ago, grudgingly passed, because this is, for some people, CBD oil is the last hope. They tried everything else. They've tried everything else that the government and doctors have shoved down their throat that have also come at enormous prices. And here we have something that grows out of the ground, a simple oil that's extracted from it that's helping people. And that was one of the things that she was standing up for. She's one of the good guys, and she's being persecuted for that.
Right. I mean, that's just kind of what's going on in this country now. I mean, even with Edward Snowden, Chelsea Manning, you know, the good guys go away and the bad guys just keep running amok. And it seems like everything's been turned on its head. You know, you shoot a kid in the street, or you wear a uniform and you kill somebody on camera. Well, that's not against the law. But if you have your child speak up about the medicine you're taking, you go and get arrested. That's 1984 if I've ever heard it.
Oh, yeah. And now we have states, if you are holding your phone, taking a picture or taking a video of a cop that's illegally painting or shooting somebody or this, that, and the other, we now have legislation on the table that says that person's going to go to jail, not the cop.
Oh,
that right there is absolutely insane.
Well, it happened with Eric Garner. The only person that was tried of anything that had a charge brought on them in any way, shape, or form around the Eric Garner situation was the person that videotaped it. What even
yeah.
The cop? And, you know, speaking of, I'm going to kind of transition into another story we've got up on antimedia.org too, as far as catching things and being on top of the situation and just showing how backwards all this stuff is. It's the two TSA screeners in Denver,
Now, this, even though this story, it isn't funny, but it is. Everybody brace yourselves. This is good.
It's okay. You've got this, you know, this perverse TSA screener, which I would assume they'd all have to be if you've chosen a living where you're, you know, groping people, which is what the job basically is. You know, they haven't stopped any terrorists. But this guy was so addicted to groping people that he found himself a little sidekick that he worked along with. And he decided that he wanted to fondle attractive, unsuspecting male passengers as they came through security. So his little sidekick would put into the machine every time he kind of gave the clue, like, oh, yeah, this is a guy I want to fill up on. She would put in the machine that it was a female going through the machine. And so then it would go off in the crotch region that there was something askew. And so then they would have to be patted down. And so then this perverted TSA agent would go over there and get his jollies off for a second. And, you know, the person would be sent on their way. And this happened well over a dozen times. But the craziest part is there was another person that worked alongside these two people, and they told their boss. They told the TSA what was going on. They're like, this guy's just over here just fondling anybody that he wants to just to get his rocks off.
Man, this sounds like a Mike Judge film. It really does.
Yeah.
This sounds like something out of Hollywood. You can't make this up.
The TSA did not do anything about it for 3 months. Nothing. Nothing.
Wow.
And the only reason anything happened is there was a supervisor that happened to be there, and he witnessed it for himself. He saw, you know, the guy give the signal, and she changed it to female, and when he saw it was a male going through, after the supervisor observed it, they were both finally fired, which I guess that's good. But for 3 months, they were aware this was going on. And how many people were groped in that three-month span? You know, and we're talking about, we have all these freedoms, and they're aware. We're not talking, people are getting groped every day, period. But we're talking, we know for a fact, malicious, perverse acts, and some guys just getting off on it, and they didn't care. They didn't care.
Well, you know, I mean, after you have to go through the whole x-ray scanner and all that crap, to be groped on top of that anyways is just gross injustice. I mean, how many terrorist plots have they thwarted now that the NSA has done all of these, you know, wonderful, not SA, TSA, all these essays are, you know, kind of goofy with me. Yeah, I wonder how many terrorist plots they foiled now.
To my knowledge, the last I heard, it was sitting at zero.
Yeah. All of that money and all of those resources and all of those 50 TSA officers that are standing there waiting for you to come through and automatically looking at you when you're holding your little, you know, your carry-on bag, looking at you like, you, man, that he could be one. Let's check him out. Every single person that comes through that line. And then to go through all of the taking your shoes off and taking your belt off and practically getting half undressed, putting all of your luggage to the x-ray, and then they stop it, and then they look at it, and then they pull it forward a little bit, and then they pull it back, and then they put you over here in this line, and then you got to go through this line, and then you go to the scanner, and then the scanner beeps because you got a dime down in your corner of your pocket you forgot about. I mean, every single American that has flown has had to deal with this. And it's absolutely ridiculous, and we're paying for it. We're paying for it. Try that on for size. We pay for that privilege.
Yesterday was the day everybody got to turn their money over to the government so they can continue to be spied on and groped. And
yeah.
Yeah. And people killed all around the world. But I tell you what, you were telling me about a story earlier, and I know we both kind of looked into it, but if you want to kind of talk to everybody about Robert Bates and that entire situation, I think this is just really interesting story.
Master Bates, Robert Bates, 73-year-old insurance executive, lives out in Oklahoma. He essentially pays for the privilege of riding along with cops and to commiserate and do all of the cop things that the cops do. They even let him go on active crime scenes. He's 73 years old. He is a private citizen. He was a police officer at one point in time. Now he is a reserve deputy. Reserve deputies, for the uninitiated, are essentially rent a cops for the cops. They're when the, you know, the crap really hits the fan and they're short on staff, they'll bring in their reserve officers. Now, I'm totally about that. You know, there are certain incidences that require additional police, police to be on scene. However, you know, we had a situation with this fellow named Eric Harris. Eric was no stranger to the Tulsa Police Department. He was had just gotten out of jail for trying to sell meth to an undercover officer. And then he turned around and tried to sell illegal guns to an undercover officer, and this happened to be a sting. Well, as they were attempting to apprehend him, he fled. Well, as it normally happens when people try to flee from the police, they chase him down, you know, kind of rough him up a little bit. As they're in the process of detaining him, and they got him on the ground, wrestling him, fixing to put handcuffs on him, he's struggling a little bit. This fellow Robert Bates comes over, and basically is the guy, you know, and to quote Eric Garner, he can't breathe, he's in a chokehold, down on the ground. Robert Bates walks over and basically tells the guy to get to hold still. He's fixing to taser him. He's fixing to taser him. And, of course, that means he's fixing to get tasered, whether he stops moving or not. He reaches for his taser, Robert Bates does, and pulls out and shoots. Well, unfortunately, the taser wasn't a taser. It was a gun. Winds up shooting Eric Harris dead. And, you know, of course, we have the racial implications. Eric Harris, of course, is an African-American. Robert Bates is an old white guy. And Robert Bates is being charged with second-degree manslaughter. And, of course, the Tulsa police are quick to jump to his defense. This was an accident, and very well it could have been. But this story raises so many questions. Number one, why is a 73-year-old anybody out on an active crime scene? You know, now we know that the job that the police do, we talk about it very often on this show. And police, even though we've had so many negative things to say about these rogue renegade officers, the police are there for a specific purpose. And there are good police officers out there doing effective police work. This, however, is absolutely insane to have a 73-year-old private citizen who's essentially a rent-a-cop, who's paying for the privilege to ride around with police officers so he can feel a little bit of that power for himself. Well, now it's coming out. The Tulsa World has recently reported that a lot of his documentation for his, you know, that states that he's had the proper amount of field training, that he is certified to use firearms in these situations. This has all been either falsified or, you know, numbers been fudged here. Instead of him attending 10 training courses, they got it on paper that he's attended 100 or whatever the case may be. The Tulsa police are staunchly denying it. The mayor's office for the city of Tulsa has pretty much flatly, you know, denied any wrongdoing. And a lot of their denial of the wrongdoing comes from the fact that whoever reported this to Tulsa World did it anonymously. And so because they're, you know, reporting anonymously, well, you can't tell us who the source is, well, then we're automatically going to discredit it. And it seems about like, you know, like how it normally works, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, again, and it's not, he was just, and look, now it's not even cops shooting people. Cops are inviting citizens, if you're rich enough, white enough, to come on board and shoot some of these folks for us.
Yeah, and it goes back, it's people that just have this power trip in their head and they just want to wield some sort of influence or, you know, relive some sort of fantasy because they got picked on as kids. Did you hear about the situation in Memphis a few days ago where this guy was walking this older lady to her car because there were a bunch of kids in the parking lot of this gas station, and they were, like, you know, throwing up gang signs. They were getting wild. You can
see. Oh, yeah, I read about that, yeah.
Okay, so, and they jumped the guy, right? So, anyways, for anybody that hasn't seen it, he walks this lady to her car. All these guys come up to him, and they just hit him. Like, this guy hits him in the back of the head. Another guy jumps him, and it's just this melee of these kids jumping on top of this guy. You can't really tell what prompted it, but the guy had a gun on him the entire time. And he was asked on TV tonight, well, why didn't you pull out your gun? You should have pulled out your – it was on with Sean Hannity. He's like, you should have killed the guy. You should have killed – or, you know, pulled out your gun. I'd have shot him. I'd have shot him. I'd have shot him. And the guy's like, you know what? These are young men with lives too, and I didn't want to, you know, kill somebody and ruin their life because of this one instance. You know, I got in the car. I realized that I wasn't that seriously hurt. He goes, I played football. I know what being hurt is. I was okay. There was no reason to pull out a gun and take somebody's life. If only the people that are trained to believe that way actually followed through with that. This guy wasn't trained to believe that. He was a human being that didn't want to take another human being's life. And the people that are trained to believe that way just... 337 people have been killed by cops this year.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to spring one on you that you may or may not have read about the incident in Oklahoma that happened recently within the past week. The family of, Arizona. It actually happened in the parking lot of a Walmart. You had a family, they were like this traveling evangelist family. They were essentially homeless, living in like suburban, you know, kind of big, giant, huge, one of the old suburbans. They had pulled up into a Walmart and apparently been camped out there for about 4 days. And I encourage anybody that's listening to go check out the video because it's tough to watch. You basically had a situation that happened in the Walmart. I guess these people were also using the Walmart as a place to use the restroom and to get their food and this, that, and the other until they picked up and moved on to their next location. Well, apparently there was an incident that happened with one of the females in their traveling party had gotten into it with another female in the restroom at Walmart. Police were called. They came to the parking lot, and they see this group of people. There's seven of them. Standing kind of almost huddled in a group. The police immediately walk up and they try to separate everybody because they realize there's a group of people. We don't know if there's weapons. We don't know if there's the mental state of these people and this, that, and the other. They attempt to separate the people, not to detain them, but to actually question them and talk about what had happened and where's the female that got in the incident and this, that, and the other. Well, suddenly a melee ensued. And I mean, an absolutely just all out brawl. It looks like WWE Royal Rumble. It really does. It is definitely a Royal Rumble. There is, it's probably about 8 minutes of video. And I mean, it just keeps going and going and people are getting fighting and punching. And I mean, it's an all out knockout. Well, the problem is though, is that, well, not the problem. Actually, this needs to be more of this. All of these police officers are being, I mean, they're getting their butts handed to them. And none of them except for one draws their weapon. And, you know, you see a couple tasers being pulled to this, that, and the other, but one cop has his gun just in case anybody else pulls out any firearms. The restraint shown by these police officers is, I could have done it. If I'd had a gun in my possession and went through about 4 minutes of that, I'd have started shooting everybody that came within five feet from me. It was nuts. And I really want people to see this because this right here, is exactly what the police talk about the things that they have to go through on a daily basis. This part I get. And the absolute restraint shown by all the police officers, and there was eventually someone shot, and you can see it in the video. I mean, this simply refuses to go down, refuses to submit to anybody, to anything, after they've already committed 3, 4, 5, 6 felonies on camera. And eventually, finally, there's a wrestling for a gun, and they beg the kid not to do it. They beg the kid not to do it. He keeps trying to reach for the gun, and they finally have to shoot him. Two people were shot, one was killed, and one police officer was shot as well. And, you know, it again, don't condone any of the actions by any of those people whatsoever. Definitely applaud those police officers for the amount of restraint they showed in that situation. It is so rare these days that we see that kind of restraint.
Yeah, and that's so much the problem with stuff is these officers are trained to have that restraint, and, you know, they don't have it for whatever reason. We are now joined on the line by Manny. How you doing, Manny?
Yes, I'm Gibson. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, sir. Happening? Your evening trip, you will? Oh, man, can't complain.
Oh, I hear you. Well, you know, you guys on a roll with this police stuff and all that. Well, let me tell you one that happened down here in not too far from our hood in San Bernardino County. You got this guy chasing. He's on the horse that basically drops down, and he's not moving completely. I mean, puts his hands out. He's not moving and all that. And all these deputies, they're on suspension. As a matter of fact, they did get suspended. And the only reason I think they got suspended is because a helicopter from NBC happened to be passing by on the way to finishing up a story. They just happened to be passing by, and they said, oh, here's another story. And so I don't know if you guys saw that, but it was in Bernardino County Sheriff.
It's just brutal.
I heard bits and pieces of it, yeah. I don't know all the particulars, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's brutal. He rears up and kicks that guy square in the groin. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, it was bad. So is there any more details coming out about that, Manny? Have they said anything in the past day or two about that?
Not so far, yeah, but I mean, they interviewed the guy. I mean, he's all messed up, and one of the things he did say that he thought it was the end of his life. I mean, he was just thinking, that's it, I'm done, you know, stuff like that, and that's got to be one of the most horrible things that you can imagine and stuff like that, you know, and so that's kind of tough, you know, and all that, so, you know, and of course, we've been doing this $15 an hour thing and all that, but, you know, this $15 an hour throws me off, though, because, yeah, even when they pass it, yeah, it's going to be in 3 years. It's not going to be like right away and stuff like that. All this politics and stuff like that, you know. And you still got our brothers across the border down there in San Diego County that are just asking for $2.50 an hour. You know, how terrible that is, you know. Just kind of the whole world's not balancing riches. I mean, there's plenty of money to be, you know, basically divided into a lot of people to give everybody some wealth and stuff like that. But that's not going to happen, you know.
Oh, no, because that's not the American way. That is definitely not the American way. The American way is to grab it all and to hold it all and make sure that nobody else can ever get a piece of it. And that's sad.
Well, yeah. And we talked about this the other night, you know, and we've had a big story with it. I think a lot of people had a big story with it. It's gone super viral is the guy in Seattle, Dan Price, the CEO, you know, giving his employees the minimum wage of $70,000 a year and lowering his pay to $70,000 a year after he was making $1 million a year. I mean, that's setting the perfect example and, you know, is a solution to what we're talking about. Somebody not trying to hoard everything for themselves, but trying to take care of others while you're taken care of as well. You know, nobody's suggesting people go without or not have anything. And I'm, for one, definitely not suggesting the government intervene and make any of this stuff happen. It should be on the person's conscience to do these things, to help those around them when they have the ability to do it, and community look out for each other.
Absolutely.
I still don't, you know, subscribe to the government getting involved, because anytime the government gets involved, you know, what good has ever come of that?
Well, let me think here. We went to the moon. I mean, you know, I'm struggling to think of anything else. Well, we got some nice highways and bridges built, you know.
Oh, well, the bridges are all falling apart at this point, and that's a whole.
Oh yeah,
there could be a whole show on that.
Well, I mean, you know, that was what 70 years ago when those bridges were built. So yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, not much else though. You know, there's and especially now, when you look at the level of intrusiveness that the government is taking in our lives, and the government's stance on this and the government's stance on that. The government doesn't even have a stance on anything. All they need to do is, you know, pretty much what we pay them to do. But then again, we don't even know what we pay them to do anymore.
Oh, I know. That's the scariest part. Well, you know what? I tell you, I just realized that we haven't even hit on the biggest story of the day, because the Wall Street Journal ran this story yesterday. This is true and factual. The Wall Street Journal ran a story about why did Hillary Clinton choose to go to a Chipotle instead of a Taco Bell. That is unfortunately true. Yeah. That was actually
I wish Justin Bieber popped up in this story too, and that, I mean, everybody would be talking about it. I mean, this is awesome. That's good news. That is effective reporting.
That is effective reporting. That is just, you know, shining a light on what an excellent job the mainstream media is doing, that we have to talk about Hillary's choices of food. And then people go on about how she didn't tip at the Chipotle. Who cares? Who tips at Chipotle?
We really need to look at the conspiracy here, because, you know, Chipotle is owned by McDonald's. And McDonald's has been in the news lately. You know, McDonald's stock is way down, and now they're going to go ahead and pay their employees $15 an hour minimum wage, which I'm all for. And the reason I'm for it, and so hardcore for it, is because that's the actual value of the American dollar right now. $15 spending power. And I actually did the math for somebody in a Facebook post yesterday and shut them the hell up quick. You know, you're looking at $15 an hour working 40 hours a week. You know, that translates to about $24,000 a year bring home for a single person with no children. And that $24,000, when I sat and divided it up over rent, your car insurance, health insurance, which is now mandatory, you know, and all of the other incidentals throughout life, $24,000 is barely, and we're talking about bring home. That's after you paid Uncle Sam his share. $24,000 bring home is barely enough money for a single person to survive in 2015 America. And that's fact. And of course, they're not making $15 an hour now. They're making, in most places, between $8 to $10 an hour. That's not enough to survive on.
I got a question. I made a comment about Chipotle, obviously, because I figured, well, it must be a slow news day. They have to report on what she eats, right? But I figured, well, that ain't Mexican. But I know that Chipotle used to be owned by Wendy's. Now it's owned by McDonald's?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know they were owned by McDonald's.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, I just want to check. But this brings me to another thing that I will say about, you know, Hillary Clinton that was really news, you know. I made a comment on Twitter, basically, because to me, like her or not, this is the comment that I made. Like her or not, that's beside the point. That was disrespectful, what they did to, to her father's grave, you know? So,
well,
that's not the way to do things, and, you know, basically, that's not the right way to handle it, basically, is what I'm saying. You know that.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel kind of ashamed that, you know, that we've talked about Hillary Clinton for this long.
Well, I mean, you know, this is not, we've got plenty to talk about as far as it goes, but this shouldn't be one of them.
I will say
this shouldn't be a subject. Yeah.
I will say it's a preview of, I got a story that's going to go up in the morning about her, and it's just kind of a reminder of, you know, the whole Brian Williams incident, that she, the exact same thing happened with her. She said they were under sniper fire in Bosnia in 1998 when she was first lady. And one of the reporters that was there with them said it never happened. She doubled down, said it did happen. Then video came out of it, and she's like, oh, well, maybe, I, you know, and of course nothing that she said happened at all. And she's like, oh, well, I was so sleep deprived. I forgot. I don't remember. So literally the exact same thing that Brian Williams is now not on the air for. Hillary Clinton's running for president, and she told the same lie. We were under sniper enemy fire. We had to rush out. They had to, you know, rush us all out of there and all this stuff, and, yeah, none of it happened.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I really think we need to give, you know, credit where credit's due here, because the man that really perfected what we're talking about here as far as media manipulation, I was almost struck by gunfire, was the original Geraldo Rivera. I will never, ever forget him ducking down. Remember when he worked for Fox News? Who could forget this? Where he's ducking down, hiding from enemy fire, and then we come to find out, you know, not too long after the fact that he was 100 miles away from where he said he was and the conflict that he said he was in and so on and so forth. Yeah, that's my boy right there.
And Bill O'Reilly got caught doing that, too. I tell you what, I have looked and looked and looked and looked and looked trying to catch Anderson Cooper. I'm convinced there is a fake story out there with that guy somewhere. And there's just, it's either screened, I don't know what they're doing, but I'm going to catch it one day. I'm convinced.
Well, you know, Anderson also has the love and favor of liberal media, which still has a large foothold.
Brian, yes. Nobody had the love that Brian Williams had.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But again, Anderson Cooper, though, he is the face of liberal media. And it was kind of like when Rush Limbaugh got caught in that pill scheme. Remember how quick that went away?
Yeah, he was the poster child of conservative media.
And was getting screwed up on Oxycontin on the air, you know.
Uh-huh.
And from the record, when FM Gibson comes on here and we do some stories down here at the border, we won't be eating a chipotle, by the way. We're going to be eating at a real food place.
I'm coming with him. Y'all are not keeping me in Alabama for that. You might as well forget about that. I'm coming too.
Oh, all right, Chad.
I actually got to go out to San Francisco for the first time last year and actually ate in the Mission District, which, again, is not the authentic, but it's about as close as you're going to get. And, man, I was blown away. It's definitely not Chipotle, that's for sure.
Well, at least Chipotle, at least she chose a GMO-free establishment, so I guess that's good for her. But
yes, absolutely.
The whole hullabaloo is just kind of ridiculous when there's just so much to talk about. And the Wall Street Journal, I mean, that's just nuts to me, but whatever. So, Manny, what do you see coming up on the horizon with everything? What's going on down there? Where do we go from here? Kind of give us your parting words.
Well, I'm going to tell you, last night we were talking about it, where everybody's concentrated on the 2016 elections, which is, I think, a waste of time. It's just a circus. It's basically like the people here in the state like to call it. It's basically a pony show, stuff like that. Is we got to start being careful about what's happening in Mexico, because I'm getting a lot of underground, journalists telling me about a lot of equipment is going down that way from the United States. A lot of equipment.
Okay, I've got you on the phone, I've got a quick question for you. Is there anything to this ISIS being in Mexico? Like, I've seen it come through, and I just can't bring myself to dive into that story.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, the people that actually would know about it up there are saying that's just fabricated.
That's the impression I'm under, and that's why I'm just kind of like, I'm not going to go there, and,
Yeah, because it's a lot of people, like I told you, our journalists are risking their lives to cover these stories. They happen to be good friends of mine, and they trust me 100%. Well, I trust them 100%, obviously, and stuff. But that kind of tells me something's going on. I mean, a lot of equipment is just going across the border and stuff like that. So they kind of, I think the United States understands that the people are going to rebel against the Mexican government. And, of course, who are they going to help? This corrupt government is going to help that corrupt government and stuff like that. But it's just, but one of the things that's happening that's also got my attention is two of the new cartels are getting stronger and stronger and stronger in Mexico now, so even stronger than the other cartels. Their mission is to start killing the machine, basically, cops, judges, whatever, prosecutors, So, I mean, that's serious business, that's not it. So it's just, and the United States, they think they're safe down here just because, the border's right there. Well, nobody's safe, because one of the things I learned a long time ago, the cartel, they have eyes and people and ears everywhere, and they're well-equipped, like that.
That's just like our cartel here in America.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Yeah, it's very true. Well, I tell you what, Manny. We'll be talking to you next week. We're about to be getting off the air here. But please call back in next week. I love hearing when you call in and give us your perspective. And you know what? I think you're right about Mexico. Like, I could definitely see Revolution kicking off there way before it would kick off here because, you know, the conditions are so much worse. People, you know, what are they going to have to lose at some point? Why not rise up? Why not rise up against the oppression? Because there's oppression on all sides down there. You know, you've got the cartels. You've got the government. There's just so much. And people just want a way out. They just want to be free. They want their families to be safe. And, you know, they want their children's lives to be better than their lives. So,
yeah, exactly. Oh, I just want to mention one more thing, which is very important. A survey just came out last week, and they looked at it in Tijuana. And a lot of the cops that were saying how much they're making, no wonder they're corrupt. They're making $1,000 a month. Think about it. A police officer is making $1,000 a month, you know, so.
Yeah, I learned about that when I was down there. They make nothing, but they actually, what Nick was telling me, he said they make very good money, but it's just all under the table.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Just like the cops here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, Manny, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
All right. Thank you. Love you guys. Have a good night.
You too.
Take care, Manny.
Man, it's great when he calls in. Especially
I love that, dude.
Yeah, just getting a different perspective from, you know, something that we're not around as much because that's, you know, that's how this needs to operate. People with different perspectives and different knowledge, share it with everybody else. And that way we can all come together and be informed.
Absolutely.
So I guess to lead us out, because I think he was dead on about the presidential elections being complete theater.
You know, real quick before we get off air, because somebody had brought this up to me yesterday and we talked about it briefly, this whole Jade Helm 15 exercise in the Walmart. I know we're running up against the end of the show, but it's something that I think people need to kind of pay a little bit of attention to. I'm not trying to be conspiracy theorists or this, that, and the other. Google Jade Helm 15 and Google Walmart plumbing problems. I know it sounds absolutely crazy, but apparently the two are connected. And I'm still in the process of researching. Have you heard about any of this?
Yeah, I've heard quite a bit about this, actually. And Justin King, who works with Anti-Media and as well works with Fifth Column News, has done quite a bit of research on this. And I heavily encourage people to go look at the Fifth Column about Jade Helm. It from what Justin has researched, it doesn't appear as nefarious as a conspiracy. It just doesn't seem that out of whack. I mean, on the surface, it does, absolutely.
At first glance, no, it doesn't. My concern is, though, is that exactly what are we preparing for?
No, for me, on first glance, it does seem crazy. But having had seen some of the stuff Justin's written, it's kind of been like, okay, I guess that kind of makes sense. But to me, I agree with, like, on the surface, I think it does sound crazy. But, yeah, I don't know.
You know, everybody go check it out, make your own opinion on it. I don't know. I've still got quite a few questions about it, and I'm going to do my own research using Justin's article as well. Justin's a fascinating author, and I strongly recommend checking it out. He just started a new site, correct?
Yeah, the Fifth Column. So you definitely, when we get out there, you need to go read some of that stuff. But, you know, he brings a lot of fact and a lot of, like, sober thinking to the conversation and rational thinking to the conversation. But I tell you what, we'll see everybody next week. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you,
SM.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend. Let it blow through the
I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.